and with your Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to go immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline the table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch, and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, you would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and good steward whom the master put in charge of his servants to distribute the food and lamps at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if the servant says to himself, 'My master is late coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and he will punish the servants severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant, who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accordance with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant, who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The entire gospel, I think, it shows what a good and a wicked servant would do. And today I want to talk about faith and works and how the grace of God flows through life, flows through our life and our actions, and leads us to faith's goal, which is what I think both the reading from Hebrews talking about Abraham says, and also Jesus eventually got to it in the gospel. And faith's goal is nothing less than our salvation. Notice how I didn't say faith makes us saved, but rather it leads us to salvation, because it's true. You've all probably heard of a faith journey, or maybe a faith story, and I've often heard of these interchangeably sometimes, but usually when you hear someone's faith journey or faith story, one of two things happens. Either I hear the person say, I was led astray by some of life's preoccupations, and then I found the church, and then I started going to Mass, and then I joined this church group, and I did this, and I did that, right? Or you can hear someone say, I've been going astray and didn't know God's love in my life. And it was God who got my attention. It was God who showed me the beauty of the Mass again. It was God who put people on my path to help me and lead me into deeper communion with Jesus and His church. And so in your opinion, which of those two people really gets it? Of course, I think it's the one who recognizes God's oftentimes invisible but powerful grace working in their lives and they've acted upon it. God's grace is at work in us before we are ever baptized into the faith, during our entire lives, and long after we're ever gone. And hopefully by God's grace, it's still going in heaven. My favorite theology teacher in seminary would always say, grace, grace, grace. Grace before, grace during, and grace after our short lives here on earth. That's what keeps us going. God's grace is at work even before we receive the sanctifying grace of baptism, which initially justifies us because He leads our parents and our godparents to make a profession of faith and to bring us to baptism long before many of us have even said a word. And some of us were baptized when we were much older, and it's even easier to see how the grace of God had flowed through our lives that led us to make that decision. But there's something beautiful about that infant baptism, which the priest or deacon asks all the parents and godparents who are there if they believe, and in the place of a little tiny baby who still open his hands and can't speak for himself, they always respond, yes, I believe. God's grace working before even our journey of faith begins. And how great is it that in our second reading from Hebrews, Abraham is shown to be a man of great faith and works, but it's never without God's grace. Listen, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. In that same exact vein, all of us sitting here, we are called to strike out on our own adventure of faith, our own adventure by faith, and to work out our salvation, as St. Paul says. And sometimes, when we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we try and we see just how weak and broken we are. And remember, Abraham didn't exactly have it easy either. He ran into plenty of problems on his own journey. And how many of us have tried to lead our family in prayer at home? Maybe we tried to teach a Bible study, teach maybe religious education, we consoled a good friend, or have done really anything to try and feel like Jesus and felt on the inside like I'm a total fraud. Or how many of us have approached the sacred altar to approach Mass and felt like a fraud because I'm so conscious of my own sinfulness? 100%. So, fellow sinners, we are called to work alongside God's grace, not to do it on our own. We are enabled by God's grace, not because God wants to see us struggle, but because we're being truly changed for heaven. We're not just saying that we're wearing a Jesus mask and sneaking into heaven at the end of our lives, but instead, we are truly becoming another Christ, little Christ, our way to heaven. I'm a huge fan of C.S. Lewis, and it's been a while since I've read his book, Mere Christianity, but in the book is a beautiful chapter on how we truly changed to be like Christ. And he begins by noting that Jesus instructs us to be like our Heavenly Father, who is perfect. And every time we engage in prayer, every time we start praying to our Father, every time we put ourselves in the place of a son or daughter of God, as Jesus commands us to do as taking care of our brothers and sisters, right? We are, in a way, putting on a mask. We are pretending. We're putting on a pretense. And this is what he has to say. Now, the moment you realize, here I am, dressing up like Christ, it's extremely likely that you'll see at once some way in which, at that very moment, the pretending could be made less pretending and more a reality. You will find several things going on in your mind which would not be going on there if you were really a son or daughter of God, and so stop them. Or you may realize that instead of saying your prayers, maybe you want to be downstairs writing a letter or helping your wife or husband to wash up after dinner, and so go and do it. The Christ himself is actually at your side and is already at that moment beginning to turn your pretending into a reality. He's beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself. He's beginning, so to speak, to inject this kind of life and thought into you. Beginning to turn the tin soldier into a live man. The part of you that does not like it is the part that is still tin. I think what he's trying to say is that it's okay to fake it until you make it. Because if you're not trying, then the grace ain't flowing, basically. If we fake it till we make it, Christ will do the rest. And I can't agree more. Because if we're faking, we're still trying, right? And that's the difference between that sort of quiet indifferentism that we see today in the culture and a sinner searching for what it means to be more Christ-like. Grace before, grace during, and grace after. What does our reading from Hebrews say again when speaking about the patriarchs, right? All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had the opportunity to return, but now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And if it weren't so, there would be no reason to hope. But how much more hope do we have now? Because we have the benefit of knowing of the death and resurrection of Christ, that God truly has prepared a place for us through the death and resurrection of Christ. And at the moment of death, which we will have to endure, the evil one will try to steal away the hope of God's grace in our life, but all we have to do is look at the finger of God in our life and see. Well, in the old days, the priest would actually hold up a crucifix to the person who was dying, because the dying person, who often would have not a lot of hope for life, obviously, the priest would give them the cross so that all they would have to do is look at the cross and know in their deepest heart what comes after. So that way, they can see the symbol of their hope, so they can keep fast the faith that they believe in. Grace before, grace during, and grace after. Everything we do in life, anything good that we do in life, is only done with God's grace. Before, during, and after.
I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Mindful of the good things God has already done for his people, let us ask him to prompt deep within us prayers truly worthy of his hearing.
That the followers of Christ remain vigilant, praying, serving others, and resisting the ways of the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That children, especially those in danger, be cherished and kept safe, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the elderly and infirm, especially those without the support of family members, be treated with dignity, patience, and love. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, especially for John Campos and Cheryl Ricchetti, and for Mike Miller, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Together with the Holy Mother of God, St. Joseph, her spouse, the holy martyrs of Mexico, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another to Christ our God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Direct, O Lord, our each and every prayer according to your own inspiration, and bear them forward by the help of your grace, that that work which here is begun in you might by you be brought to perfection through Christ our Lord.